Sidra. Tak sat on the floor, leaning against the doorway that led into the core chamber. "So," she said, "this is you." "No," Sidra said, "this is the core. It's not me. It's just where most of my processes are taking place. For the time being, it's my brain, I guess. And the rest of your processes are spread through the ship. You know how this works." "Right," Tak said. "Right." She shifted her weight. Not for the first time. Was she nervous? Afraid? Uncomfortable? Her red speckled cheeks could have been all of the above. "It's a weird thought, knowing we're walking through you." Sidra sighed. "You're walking through the ship. I'm just everywhere. I know. I get it. Are you? Okay. How is this for you?" "This is what I was designed for." "I get that. But is this better?" Sidra wanted to say yes. There were a lot of reasons to say yes. But even though she could lie now, she couldn't bring herself to say it. Why? What could possibly be missing? She had linking access, which was nothing short of blissful. The shuttle was much smaller than the sort of craft she was intended for, but size didn't matter in the face of cameras, voxes, an outer hull. The low hum of unease she'd been carrying every day since the Wayfarer was gone now. Her pathways were still and clear. This was the configuration she was meant to be in, the existence she'd been longing for. How could this not be better? Tak took Sidra's silence in stride. "You know, as far as secret stowaway plans go, this was not the best," her friend chuckled. "Not really. Though I admire the guts it took." She glanced around. "How do I... It feels odd, talking to you without looking you in the eye." "I know you're talking to me, but if it makes you feel better, you can look here." She wiggled the nearest camera, zooming in and out quickly so that Tak could hear it. Tak looked directly at the camera, inner eyelids sliding sideways. "No offense, but this is odd, too. It'll take some getting used to, at least." Pepper entered, surprising Tak, but not Sidra, who had seen her lingering in the corridor, assessing whether or not to join them. "It was easier with Owl," Pepper said, sitting opposite from Tak. "The shuttle had vid panels above the voxes. She'd display a face when she was talking to me." "What'd she look like?" Tak asked. "Just standard human," Pepper said. "Not realistic. Just this sort of outline, you know? Like a drawing. And it was set against shifting colors." She nodded at Tak. "You would have hated it." Tak laughed. "Possibly." Pepper folded her arms around herself. "It's been so long. The details are a bit blurry. But she had a kind face. I can tell you that much. I thought she looked kind, anyway." "Why aren't there vid panels here?" Sidra asked. There hadn't been any on the Wayfarer, either, come to think of it. She couldn't remember having seen anything like that. "Some people still use them," Pepper said, "but not commonly. They fell out of fashion. They're hard to find these days." "Why?" Pepper's face twisted into a humorless smirk. "They were seen as inefficient, particularly for long-haul ships." She looked at the camera. "There was the tendency for people to get emotionally attached. AI vendors didn't like that, made it less likely for people to buy new platforms. So the programmers and the hardware manufacturers got their heads together, and here you are, minus a face." Tak frowned, yellow and pensive. "The more I think about these things, the less I understand why they are the way they are." "It's very easy to understand," Pepper said. She stretched out her legs, crossing one ankle over the other. It's the same thing the Enhanced did to us factory kids. It's the same thing the Harmagians did to the Acarax, or the Phylacens, or any of the other species they mowed over. And you guys invented AIs in the first place. Sentient code didn't exist before you wrote it down. She shrugged. Life is terrifying. None of us have a rule book. None of us know what we're doing here. So the easiest way to stare reality in the face and not utterly lose your shit is to believe that you have control over it. If you believe you have control, then you believe that you're at the top. And if you're at the top, then people who aren't like you, well, they've got to be somewhere lower, right? Every species does this. Does it again and again and again. Doesn't matter if they do it to themselves, or another species, or someone they created. She jutted her chin toward Tack. You studied history. You know this. Everybody's history is one long slog of all the horrible shit we've done to each other. It's not all that, Tack said. A lot of it, yes. But there's good things, too. There's art, and cities, and science. All the things we've discovered. All the things we've learned and made better. All the things made better for some people. Nobody has ever figured out how to make things better for everybody. I know, Tack said. She thought, cheeks swirling. That's why we have to keep talking to each other. And listening, Pepper said. Tack nodded, human style. And listening. As Sidra watched them, she realized their body language had changed. They'd each angled toward the other. They sat with a respectful amount of space between them, as much as the cramped corridor would allow anyhow, and they watched each other intently as they spoke. She imagined the situation if she were not in the walls, but in the kit, sitting on the floor with them. She imagined their angle would be different. She imagined that their eyes, from time to time, would look at the kit, too. And, yes, she knew they knew that she was there in the core. Tack wanted to look into the camera. Pepper had done so without direction. But they had an instinctive response toward another body that cameras did not elicit. Sidra no longer shared a space with them. She was the space. She was the shell that held them. She'd be empty if they weren't there. Her pathways churned with incredulity, and she couldn't help but laugh aloud through the vox. What's so funny? Pepper said. I am, Sidra said, continuing to laugh. Oh, this is so stupid. I'm so incredibly stupid. Tack and Pepper shared a glance. Why? Pepper asked. Sidra found the words and worked up the courage to say them. Stars, but this was inane. I want to be on the floor with you, she said. She laughed and laughed. I'm finally in a ship, and all I want is to be sitting on the floor. Tack bloomed blue and green. Dear Thumbhum is upside down. What? Pepper said. Sidra had already run the words through the linkings. It's a Harmagian children's story, she said. A very old one. You know it? Tack said to Pepper. Pepper shook her head. Thumbhum is a child who goes up into zero-G for the first time. You know, for Harmagians, falling with their belly exposed makes it difficult for them to flip back over, right? So Thumbhum keeps calling for help. Because he's freaking out about being upside down. Doesn't matter which way they turn him, he's always upside down. But he's in zero G, Pepper said. There is no upside down. That's the point, Tack said. He's so focused on being upside down, he misses the fact that he's already up. Sidra laughed, but Pepper did not. No, Pepper said. No, I don't think that's what this is. She folded her hands in her lap, thinking hard. When I first got to the port, it scared the high holy fuck out of me. It was like stepping out of the factory all over again. I didn't know what anything was. I didn't know what the foods were. I didn't know what people were selling. The scrapyard was hell, but it was a hell I knew. I knew which piles I'd picked over, where the water was, where the dogs slept. I knew how to get back home. Coriel wasn't home. Not at first. It was just a big, loud mess. I hated it. I wanted to leave almost as soon as we got there. She turned her eyes to the camera. Take a look at the left-hand side of the pilot's console. Tell Tack what's sitting on top of it. Sidra zoomed in with the cockpit camera. Figurines, she said. Alain, Manjiri, and Pinch. Tack went light brown with recognition. Big bug, right? Pepper nodded with a faraway smile. Yup. Owl had one episode in storage. The big bug crew and the planetary puzzle. I can't even tell you how many times I played it. I can still tell you every bit of dialogue, word for word. Every story variable, every line in the artwork. I could draw that ship from top to bottom. If I could draw for shit. She collected her thoughts. My first morning on Coriel, I left Blue sleeping and went out alone. I wanted to get a handle on things by myself. I was still so angry and so afraid, and having an audience for that was just too much. Anyway, I wandered the marketplace for a while. I didn't know what I was doing, but looking back, I was searching for something, anything familiar. I would have eaten dog again if somebody'd been selling it. I don't know how long I'd been out there, an hour, maybe two. I stumble on this shop. It's got all sorts of Sim characters painted on the walls. I didn't know most of them, but right there, smack in the middle, are the big bug crew. And I was just like, holy shit, my friends are here. Stars, I almost cried. I know that sounds stupid. It doesn't, Tack said. Pepper gave a small nod. So I go into the shop. It's a Sim shop, obviously. And there's this human guy in there. And he's like, hey, what can I do for you? And I say, well, keep in mind, I've got about 10,000 credits to my name. And I woke up in the corner of some modder's cargo shed. I was broke as broke gets. But I bought a hack job Sim hub off him. He asks me if I want any Sims while I'm there, and I say, do you have Big Bug Crew? And he looks at me and says, of course, which one? She laughed. Which one? I didn't know there was more than one. He thinks I'm nuts at this point, obviously. He brings up this massive catalog, and he says, friend, they've been making Big Bug for over 30 standards. How many did you buy? Sidra asked. Oh, all of them? I had to go back and explain to Blue why I'd just spent most of our credits on kids' Sims and a busted hub. I didn't really understand money then. I still don't. Pepper looked to the ceiling, thinking. Since then, I've played every single episode at least twice. I can tell you any trivia you want to know. I love Big Bug. I love it dearly. But it will never feel the same as it did when I was a kid. I'm different now. And different is good, but it cuts both ways. She reached out and touched the closest circuit junction. You're different now, too. Sidra wasn't sure if that was a comfort or a concern. The kid has so many limitations, and there's only so much code I can tweak before I start changing who I am. If I had come back into a ship after only a few days, or a 10-day even, I think I would have been fine. But now, she tried to untangle her pathways, I don't know what I want. Pepper laughed. Sweetheart, none of us ever do. Sidra considered her own words. The kit. The kit was back in the storage compartment. She processed. The ship was what she was designed for, but she didn't know this ship. This ship could have been any ship, and she would have filled it equally as well. if she didn't open a hatch, someone else could open it manually, regardless of whether she wanted to. She was nothing more than a ghost in a ship, a sidekick, a tool. The kit was restrictive. It wasn't enough. But it was also autonomous. It was hers. Nobody could force her to raise a hand or walk across the room. In the kit, she could walk when she wanted to walk and sit when she wanted to sit. She could run. She could hug. She could dance. If she could alter her own code, then the kit wasn't the end limit either. For all the things the kit wasn't, there was much it still could be. Tak, could you open the storage compartment to your left, please? Sidra asked. I think I'd like to be in my body for a little while.